Good evening, folks. This is Carolyn Evers. One of my favorite times of the week when I can be here touching you, you touching us, us all getting together and really having fun. And of course, the other one here who likes to have fun is Richard.
Good evening, Carolyn. Good evening, everyone.
You like to have fun, don't you?
Sure do.
We're really going to have fun tonight, aren't we?
I think it's going to be very interesting, controversial if nothing else.
Indeed, controversial. We're going to be talking about the mysteries of Rennes Le Château. And for those of you who are familiar with this, you know, guys, this is a lot of mysteries, a lot of fun, a lot of excitement, and I've been looking forward to this all week. And the first time that I was at Rennes Le Château, I've been there a couple times, and the church has hours. They're not open like all the time. They're only open for, believe it or not, a few minutes at a time. And as I was waiting on the bench outside of the church, man, I got zapped right into an altered state, and I thought, this is going to be interesting. Started falling asleep. First time I went into the church, I started falling asleep. And I'm thinking, this has got to be sitting on a very powerful vortex, because that's one of the first things that some people do when they're trying to get used to very strong energies. And I have to tell you, I don't remember another time or another place where I've had that reaction. So it was interesting. And it's like a crystal. If you've worked with a crystal, you know, if you have a powerful crystal, the first couple times it has a strong effect on you. And then the more you use it, your body kind of gets used to it and you're able to work with the energies. And that's how it was with Rennes Le Château, the church there. I became used to it and I stopped falling asleep, because that could be a nasty habit if you're trying to figure out something. So that was my first experiences with it. And the time that I went there was indeed a very powerful time. And Richard, you haven't had an experience with Rennes Le Château yourself, but you have had experience with a gentleman who did write about it. And you might say more than wrote about it. He actually went there, explored it, did maps. And so, Richard, maybe we could start this out, if you would, by giving our audience a little idea of the book and what the gentleman wrote. And who was this gentleman?
Yes, the gentleman's name was Ben Hammett, H-A-M-M-O-T-T. And Ben's an Englishman who has been captivated, I guess you could say, by the mysteries of Rennes Le Château. And I haven't quite figured out when he first started going, because it's not clear in his book. Actually, I don't have the book sitting in front of me, but the name of it is something like the secret grave of the Knights Templar or something like that. Excuse me for being a bit vague, but I meant to sit it on my desk and didn't. And anyway, Ben's talking in detail about this intrigue. He was drawn to it. And one of the things that's interested me in reading people's books these days and this kind of material is to see when people are intuitively tugged into these things. And Ben was very much like that. He was drawn to go to Rennes Le Château and investigate this mystery. And so he had this sense that these rather strange arrangements, I suppose you could say, unusual paintings and statues and various other things, which Saunier, the priest who was at the center of the mystery, at least as far as this century is concerned, excuse me, he just felt there was a mystery to solve. And indeed, through several visits to Rennes Le Château, figured out that the signage, or at least some of it, was pointing to a cave under which he found, almost by accident, you might say, that there was a tomb underneath it. And it truly is extraordinary what he unfolded. The evidence very strongly is that he found the tomb of Mary Magdalene. And so this whole thing has got quite a deal of intrigue around it. I came across Ben's work probably a good couple of years ago now, when I was kind of sniffing around, as you do, around the internet, and you get drawn to things. And Ben put up originally this website called The Tomb Man, and it was really documenting what he'd found as he'd gone through this kind of discovery work, so that in part he could draw others to connect with this. But what intrigued me to a great deal was how Ben was drawn to this, and I suspect our friend Sonia will explain exactly why Ben felt that tug to go and examine all of this. Very interesting. And really, just looking at Rennes Le Chateau, some of you may be aware that indeed there have been temples to Isis in that area going back a long, long time. And it's an area which really does have extraordinary energies and other things. But Carolyn knows much more about that than me.
Oh, you're so kind. Well, let me give a sort of a little thumbnail sketch of some of the history. The site itself goes back to Roman times, and there were a lot of Romans who settled there, a lot of Jews who settled there. And as Richard said, there was an Isis temple, so, I mean, it went back even further than that. And it was a sleepy little town that had this little church there, and it was dedicated to Mary Magdalene. And a country priest was assigned there, and that's the priest we're talking about, Saunier. When he was assigned there, you might say the church was falling apart. It was in ruins, not ruins, but, I mean, it needed a new roof, needed a lot of work done to it. It wasn't a prosperous country area at all. And so the priest had to basically put on a new roof, and as he started to work on the inside, supposedly he discovered something that was of extraordinary, you might say, spiritual, religious importance. And after that, it seemed like he became extraordinarily wealthy. And there were comments made about how there was gold underneath of the ground that people walked upon. So there was this great sense of treasure. And as I said, intrigue, and we know that it is energetically a very important place. So there was a lot of history. People have questions about where all of this money came from and if there is more treasure, and the connection between Yeshua, Mary Magdalene, and there is great interest because of all the clues, the information and paintings that was done inside the church, and paintings outside, monuments and so forth. And so there's been quite a few books written about it. And as I said, a lot of intrigue. And all of this intrigue also revolves around this country priest, Saunier, because he went to his grave, and his housekeeper went to the grave without really giving any of the answers to all of this mystery and intrigue. And as you know, we talk to these individuals on the other side. And tonight, we have Saunier with us, which is exciting news. So, Richard, is he there, dear? Can you connect with him?
I believe he's here, yes.
Before you become, we get a message from him, if you might just give a little thumbnail sketch of the energy that you feel coming from him, the person that he was.
Yes, the energy is quite powerful. I get a sense of quite a strong, physically strong individual who had quite a presence. He knew his own mind, would be the impression I would have, and was very clear about what he was doing and why he was doing it. And so I would sense he would have been quite a charismatic individual, and I'm not surprised that he had a very, very loyal following in that community as their local priest.
Yes, when you see pictures of him, you have this sense. First of all, I would judge him as to be a handsome man, and you do have this sense of the power about him. And since he is there, maybe he can open all of this with a message that he wants to tell us and our audience.
Let us see what he has to say. And he is saying, as you know, there has been great intrigue about why I decorated the small church which was dedicated to Mary Magdalene in such a manner. And there has been much intrigue about what I was doing there, what I did with my time as I walked the hills, and how it was that I was able to spend so much money on that renovation and building a house next to the church, and so on. So much speculation, and this speculation has indeed never been answered with any satisfactory resolution, you could say. And indeed, it was part of what I wanted to do, was to leave that intrigue in place, because in truth, what I was doing then was part of the preparatory work for what is unfolding now. And that is because that area, as you understand, carries many secrets and great energy. And I came to understand that part of my work was to undertake some, you could say, initial discovery work. And having undertaken that work, to leave the signs for one who would follow me to begin to put some of the pieces more firmly in place. And that is the work which Ben has been undertaking. You see, that was all planned. It was intended that Ben come and search out these clues. It indeed was for him that I left them. And this may sound extraordinary to those of you who are listening, but I knew enough about the spiritual nature of things, despite my role as a Catholic priest, which by then the church had well and truly denied reincarnation, but I was well aware of the nature of reincarnation, indeed many aspects of spirituality, though I could not teach those to my flock. But I understood these things, and I understood that there was one that would follow, indeed a reincarnation of myself, another aspect of my soul sent forth to rediscover that same material. You see, that one you know of as Ben Hammett is indeed, you could say, my reincarnation, returning to pick up the threads that I planted in the previous life. This might sound incredibly strange to you, but indeed, if you understand the journeys of many, many souls upon this planet, there are many individuals that have returned over many, many lifetimes to continue particular pieces of work. And indeed, I would give you the example of these two that I am working with tonight, because they returned many times to undertake leadership roles within the Knights Templar because of that key work that needed to be undertaken. So it is not as unusual as you might think, though within your context it sounds quite extraordinary, and Ben is completely unaware of what I just shared with you. Though I assure you he does feel quite a connection to me, and Rennes-le-Château has been like a magnet for him over many years, as he will very readily attest to. And so these are some of the threads that I wanted to share with you. I also wish to lay to rest two other key pieces of the puzzle. The first of these is the Tour Magdala, that rather strange-looking tower that I had built. And people have wondered where this tower fitted into the puzzle. And in a sense, it doesn't, and in another sense, it does. Let me explain. This tower was placed there because it marked the end of what you might call a ley line, an energy line, which ran from Girona in Spain through to Rennes-le-Château. And I became aware of a group in Girona. You might call it a mystery school of sorts, a secret society perhaps, who were working with that ley line and had at various points achieved a great level of esoteric skill. And there was a time when there was a tower in Girona which was identical to the tower which I built, the Tour Magdala. And this is discussed in a book that is called The Portal, written by a woman called Patrice Chaplin. And indeed, in that book is a photograph of the tower that existed in Girona. It and the house associated with it were destroyed by the Catholic Church some time ago, and well after my time. When I put that tower in place, it was to match the tower in Girona and provide this connection. It was like a terminator on this ley line and strengthened the power of that ley line and for those individuals to be able to undertake that work. But it was not something that I discussed with people in Rennes-le-Château, and so it was not widely understood that that was the purpose of that tower. So in a sense, for the most part, it had little connection with the other mysteries of Rennes-le-Château. And I will confirm that the tomb which Ben has found is indeed the tomb of Mary Magdalene. And I will say that as the master of sacred geometry that she was, she indeed had planned that her tomb be discovered in the time when it was and to come forth into the public eye in this time. The other piece of the puzzle that I would like to address is the issue of my funding. So many have speculated in so many ways as to where the money came from. Was I paid off by the Catholic Church because I'd found some secret? For example, the body of Yeshua in that area, of which there are so many rumors, and I will say there is some truth to those rumors, but that is for another time. And indeed, the money did not come from that source. Some have speculated that I found Templar treasure. Indeed, Ben himself has speculated that I got my treasure from the tomb site which he has discovered, because it is very clear that there is treasure in that site. But no, that is not where the funding came from, nor did I discover any of the long-lost Templar treasure, though I anticipate there indeed is Templar treasure in the area yet to be discovered. And so I would like to put the origin of my funding to rest, without going into all the details of how and why this was the case. I was funded by what you might term a member of the Spanish royal family of the time. They had a great interest in the secrets of Rennes-le-Château, and when they understood my interest and the knowledge and understanding that I was gathering, and also my connection with Girona and my desire to support that secret society there, this individual came forth with a great deal of funding, royal families in those times, indeed even today. We're not exactly short of the necessary funding to support any project that they might wish. And this individual came forth and provided the funding very freely for me to do all the things that I felt guided to do. And he was aware of the nature of the things that I was doing and why I was doing them. And he was, in his own way, motivated to ensure that those truths were set up in that way to come forth in this time. He felt a deep connection to all of the truths of that area. And so that, my friends, is where my funding came from. This, you could call him an archduke or perhaps a second string royal figure, if you will, within the Spanish royal family of that time. And so that is the connection.
Thank you. You are saying that the clues that you put in place were for discovery at this time. And can you tell us a little bit from your perspective, these particular times, and why that information was planned to come forth? Perhaps you can enlighten the audience a little bit along those lines.
As you may be aware, the Essenes, that community from which Yeshua and Mary Magdalene came forth, were the masters of so many esoteric skills. They were able to see into the future. They were able to see into the past, into the physical body, and so many other things. Carolyn, you're touching your microphone.
I'm sorry.
And so they understood that they understood what was to be unfolding in this time. Indeed, the life purpose, if you will, of Yeshua and Mary Magdalene was to prepare for this time in 2012. And because they could see into the future, they understood quite accurately indeed that the Roman Catholic Church would be created and walk the path that it did, taking the basis of his teachings and transform it for their own purposes. And so it was planned that the truth of who he was and what he was doing, and also who Mary Magdalene was and what she was doing, would come forth at this time. And so the plan was put in place for that to come forth. And they indeed lived as a couple in that area for quite a deal of time after the crucifixion. Because as many of you now know, Yeshua did not die at that time. It looked as though he had died, but he had not. And indeed, he undertook important work during his time in that tomb during those 3 days. But he was not dead. He looked as though he was dead because he had mastered those skills to still the bodily signs. Something that quite a few of the Essenes and others from other traditions were able to do. And so it was planned that Yeshua's teachings and Mary Magdalene's teachings and the truth of the presence of their bodies in that area of France, amongst other great secrets, would come forth in this time. Because it is a time when many great truths of the light will come forth, and this is but one of those truths which will emerge between now and the end of 2012. And I assure you, this message from me is not the way those truths are going to come forth. I simply am making you aware that that indeed will be the case, and some of you are already aware of this, I expect. And so that is why it was planned for this material to come forth at this time.
That is beautiful, and I thank you for that. There is a mystery also as to when you were renovating the church, that you found some documents. If you can, because I know some of this you may not wish to release at this moment, tell our audience where these documents were that you found and what you can tell them that was contained in these documents.
There is much speculation that there were documents that came forth when I was renovating the church, which indicated that there were great secrets in that area. And there is indeed some truth to that. It was said that I found those documents in part of the furniture, you could say, the altar within the church. But indeed, that was not the case. There was a stone which, as the floor was being reworked, which was lifted, and that stone had a Templar sign upon it. And under that stone, there was a cavity with what you might call a document, more a parchment perhaps, which indicated strongly that there was a burial, if you will, underneath this church, and indeed a very important burial. And there were more threads to this, but it certainly indicated to me that there indeed were great secrets that needed to be understood and to be brought forth about this location. And I do not wish to open up these threads any further than this at this point, because now is not the time for these to come forth.
Yes, I understand. Moving away from the church itself, there has been a discussion about how you, shall we say, walked through the area as if you were searching for things, more so than just a country walk, so to speak. Is there any information that you could give us that you feel is ready to release? And I understand that a lot of this, it's not the time for it to come forth, but what you can share with our audience that would be allowable to come forth at this moment?
The key thing that I was searching for was the tomb which Ben has found. Few of humanity today accept the fact that we all can do what the two of you do so readily, what you are doing now with me, and that is to communicate with beings on the other side of the veil, beings that are ostensibly dead, you might say, from the perspective of humanity. And so I mention this because I had that ability in that lifetime. And so I connected with Mary Magdalene, and I connected with Yeshua, and I came to understand that I came into that life intending to bring forth that skill and ability so that I could connect with those truths and to put the pieces in place. And so much of my searching indeed was to locate the tomb. It was not so straightforward, as Ben will attest to. However, I had that guidance, and I knew there was a way to view the tomb from above. And so I was looking for that cave, and at that time it was a little easier to find a cave than it is now, because the entire area is much more overgrown than it was then. A lot of the trees and shrubs have grown back, whereas back in that time there was a lot of grazing by animals and so on. It was much more intensely farmed, you could say, than it currently is, and so it was easier to find that cave than it is today. And so that was the major thing that I was looking for. I was also looking for other entrances, some of the other structures which exist in the area. And some of that information I have encoded into the church, and other material it is not to bring forth at this time, but there are some truly wondrous secrets about that area. And I will give you an example. There is great speculation that the Knights Templar created the equivalent of Solomon's Temple underground in that area. And I will say that there is truth to that story. And that truth will also come forth in this time. So there are many threads, many pieces to the puzzle. And I spent a lot of time walking the area, seeking to understand what was where, following the energy lines, communicating with those beings that were guiding me in my work. And so it was a fascinating time, standing as I was in that moment, connecting the past with the future in a manner which would allow it to come forth as it needed to do. And it gives me great joy to see it coming forth as Ben is bringing it.
That's exciting. It truly is. And my experiences, I've been there twice, and my experiences with the area is that the energy lines are massive, very powerful. There is a bench on a little path coming from the tour, and I recall sitting there, and my sense of it, and perhaps you can either agree with this or disagree, but my sense of it is it was a place where you could access many dimensions. It reminded me somewhat of a place where trains would have a lot of changes in track, a switching area, and it seemed like those lines of energy went all over the planet. Would you agree with that, disagree, or can you give us a little insight into that?
I would agree with what you were saying. There are many energy lines which come through that particular point. And I would also say that the membrane between dimensions there is very thin. It is very easy to enter other dimensions, if you will, in that area. And someone with the skills of you, Carolyn, can easily reach through into another dimension in that area. It is very easy to do if you understand what you are doing. And there are other places upon the planet which have those aspects, but if you add up all of the aspects of Rennes-le-Château, it is truly a unique location upon the planet.
Thank you. Can you, or are you willing to give us a little thought about what's called the Devil's Chair on one of the hillsides, and what connection that may or may not have with the church itself?
There is no connection per se with the church. However, there are elements within the decorations of the church which point to the Devil's Armchair, as it's called, because it is a key piece of the puzzle. There are important energy lines which pass through that location, and when the time is right, those energy lines will be activated and worked with, and it will indeed be a location where many secrets will come forth as a result of that work, but that is not for today.
Well, I won't discuss any more of that. I sat in that armchair, and you could actually, well, perhaps I shouldn't mention any more, but just other than to say that the whole area is quite a remarkable place, and I suspect that there's going to be a lot of listeners wishing that they could be there. And perhaps you might be willing to tell our listeners that you don't really have to journey there, that they could stay in their homes and connect with that area. Might you be willing to explain some of that to them?
By all means. Humanity has, for the most part, forgotten about the abilities of the mind. Truly, you can energetically journey anywhere within the cosmos if you choose, and I know the two of you do this very often in various ways. And so indeed, with a little training and understanding, any individual can journey to any location and experience that location not only in this time moment, but in the past and indeed the future. And so the consciousness of the human mind does have the ability to access what is known as the now if you practice that, even in this linear time that you exist in and have done since the fall in Atlantis. Even in this linear time, you can, if you will, in a mental sense, step out of that and go anywhere to any moment in time. And I'm aware that Carolyn does this at will. She is able to access past moments in time and view the events, view the circumstances arising in a particular location, events that are unfolding around a particular individual. She can do this at will. And she has great ability to do this. That is unusual, the strength of her skill in this regard. However, it is something that anyone with practice and understanding can do.
Thank you so much. And it is something that Richard and I teach on our soul healing calls and on our conference calls. And there is great excitement when we see people connecting with other forms of consciousness. If we might take a little break and bring on a person who is on the line. Janice from Utah is on line too. Janice?
Oh, my gosh. Hello. I guess I have a question. I was reading somewhere. I was cleaning my basement, and all of a sudden I found this book called The Expected One, which is talking about all this and explaining all of this. When I picked it up, I just had such, I just was thrilled inside. And I was reading this, and then halfway through this, Richard had emailed me and said this call was coming on. And I was just, I guess I'm asking, it seems maybe there is a message in this for me, or what is my connection here?
What is your connection with the book, The Expected One? Is that the question?
Well, maybe just all that we're talking about with Mary Magdalene and all of these codes and, you know, where did this book come from? And I was in the middle of reading it, and now you're having this call.
Mm-hmm. Well, that is a synchronicity for certain, and let's see if Sonia can tell us about this. The lady Janice would like to know if she has some connection either to Mary Magdalene or to the site in particular. What can you bring forth?
Janice's connection is perhaps best described as a connection to Mary Magdalene, because Janice was an Essene and part of that community. And like so many other of the Essenes, she is a cherubim at her highest level. And so her connection is not so directly with Reddin Le Chateau, but more with Mary Magdalene and the mission of Yeshua and Mary Magdalene. And she, in that time, would have understood that the work that was being done was to prepare for now. And so she has returned to play her role in this phase of the journey, like so many others who shared that lifetime.
Thank you. Well, Janice, is that exciting or what?
Oh, my gosh. Yes. And so what am I supposed to be doing now? What is my role? How do I know?
Richard, do you have any thoughts for this lady?
Yes. Yes, Janice, you have come to bring forth the commands that Carolyn and I have been given. So if you wish to be added to that list, just send me an email and I will add you to that list. And in essence, there are many healers, many indeed cherubim that have returned. What happens at these key times is some 20,000 cherubim come forth, many in the etheric and many incarnate, to assist in these key times. And I'm forming the view that most, if not all, of those who will be around the world bringing forth these commands to assist humanity to prepare for the end of 2012 and the whole ascension process are indeed cherubim who will bring forth these commands and also teach the workshops where, if you like, some basic spiritual understandings will be shared with people, because as you would realize, for the most part, most of humanity doesn't have a clue about their spiritual nature, but there is going to be a massive awakening go on over the next couple of years. And so you are one of those that's come forth to assist in that work.
Feel your wings growing yet, Janice?
I do, and I'm so thankful for you to help me to understand these things that I am. And I have already been sent my email, and I'm on the list. And
you're just checking up on me, aren't you?
Indeed. Thank you, Janice. Richard, would you be kind enough just to, you know, a lot of people misunderstand the nature of a cherub and a cherubim. Would you explain the difference between the two?
Well, as best I can, and you'll fill in the gaps, Carolyn, I'm sure. But the cherubim are the second group of angels, if you like, that were created. The first were the seraphim, who essentially remain in the center of the cosmos with all there is. And the second group, before any other beings were created, were the cherubim angels. And they're the masters of vibration. They look after the Akashic records, the records of all souls and all activity within the cosmos. And they shepherd vibration around the cosmos, including the messages that those vibrations carry. And so that's the primary role of the cherubim. And as I mentioned, some 20,000 come forth at these key times when there have been attempts at ascension or a golden age. And in the past, these have been thoroughly trodden on by our dark friends. But this time we're going to pull it off, guys.
Thank you, Richard. And just to give you the audience a little thought about cherubs, first of all, there are many levels of angels who all have a specific work to do, so to speak. And in artwork, they will show, there's a lot of pictures of Mother Mary, for instance, where you see these little adorable faces that surround her. And these paintings were done by, you know, very famous masters throughout history. And so it is a group of angels that work with Mother Mary, that work with Mary Magdalene, and you might say their secretary, so to speak, do their bidding, help them out. And they are shown up as these sweet little angels, and I just thought I'd mention it because people really do confuse the two, and they are two distinctive groups of angels with different jobs that they're filling in. And so the next one on the line is Douglas from Los Angeles. He is on line 3. What can we do for you, Douglas?
Hi, Carolyn. I wanted to ask Father Sonia a question about the singer Emma Calvey.
Yes.
I know that he had a relationship with her in that lifetime, and wonder if he would be willing to speak about that, and maybe also the significance that it played on his work, and if they're still in contact now.
Good question. Well, first of all, let's find out if that story is accurate. Did Father Sonia hear the question?
I believe he did, yes. And so let's see what he has to say. There is truth to the story that Emma and I were, you could say, romantically engaged. And it is interesting that whilst the general view of those of the cloth, if you might use that term, should not engage in such relationships, in truth, if one looks at the history of the Catholic Church, there have in the earlier days been popes who were married, and indeed there was at least one pope who was murdered because of his affair with the wife of another. So there is so much that is painted in a particular manner about the behavior of priests and others within the Catholic Church. And I simply mentioned that by way of background. And so, yes, we had a relationship, and indeed we remain in contact at this time.
Well, there you go, Douglas.
That's great. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. So it's very interesting, Father Sonier. I do have an interesting thought. When you're on this side of the veil, we have so much that keeps us busy. And true, a lot of it would be good if we didn't have to do it. You know, go to work, earn money, prepare food, get educated. And we don't remember what it was like on the other side. Would you be kind enough to give our audience a little thumbnail sketch of what it might be on the other side? What do you guys do over there?
Well, firstly, we don't have the requirement to sleep in the way that you do, because those issues arise because of the consciousness in which you live. The soul needs time out, and the physical body needs time out. Indeed, sleep, as you experience it, is for the most part for the opportunity for the soul to leave that very restricted consciousness and journey elsewhere. So we have more time to do whatever we are going to do. However, the experience of consciousness, if you will, is so vastly different here. You live in that linear time experience, and as Carolyn said, have to deal with so many day-to-day issues simply and related to your survival within that consciousness. We have the opportunity to pursue so many threads. And so the nature of how we interact with things is so very different. For example, I am having this conversation, if you will, with Carolyn and Richard through Richard at this moment. And I may be having another 500 connections with other beings at the same time, just to give you some number that's way out there. And such a feat is not possible for the human being because of the nature of the consciousness in which you exist at this time. You cannot connect with so many beings at the same time. And this is why, for example, there are many individuals who might connect with one of the masters, and they can do that at will, and the masters will respond, because they can respond to almost an infinite number of requests from humanity at the same time. And to imagine doing that from within your consciousness is almost impossible. And so I mention that because it gives you some sense of the very different nature of consciousness in which we live. And there is the opportunity to study and progress just as you do on Earth, although the nature of it is a little different, of course. We don't have computers or a pen and paper or whatever. However, the opportunity is there to learn, and to learn in a different format. And there are what you might call schools or lessons, if you will, to learn about various subjects, and there is a great opportunity to do that. And for the most part, that is where I spend my time, learning and studying and understanding the extraordinary array of knowledge and wisdom that is available about so many things. It is such a joy for me to do this.
Thank you. Have you planned another lifetime to come back? Now, we know that you have a representative here on Earth presently. Your soul does, rather. Have you planned beyond this?
I will return with another reincarnation, you can say, another incarnation beyond the ascension time, to participate in that consciousness beyond the ascension process. And the one you know as Ben will pass through that process, and so on that side there will be more than one aspect of our shared monad that will be present upon the planet at that time. And I would say that is not an unusual thing for a monad to send forth more than one aspect, if it chooses, into the same planetary consciousness. I am aware, for example, that Richard's soul has sent forth multiple aspects for multiple purposes, and they exist concurrently upon the planet at this time. So I mention this so that those listening are not confused by what I have said.
You have brought forth so much information, and I want to thank you, Father Sunyer, for your generosity, for your patience with us, for your desire to share your knowledge and information. And it was a great joy working with you, and I thank you.
It has been my pleasure to come forth and contribute. Indeed, my joy to answer some questions and to tantalize some others.
Tantalize indeed. Thank you again. And Richard, you've done quite a remarkable job, and I want to thank you for that. I'm kind of taking a little break. Just give us one quick word. We really are at the end of our time, that we will be away from this microphone for a few shows. Can you give us a little tidbit about that?
Yes, we have some other commitments over the next 3 weeks or so. I'm going back to Australia for a while, and there are some other things happening. So we will be away from doing live shows until the 18th of December, I think is the date. So there'll be recordings coming forth over the next, I think it's 3 weeks. So we'll be back in late December. Hopefully there'll be lots of changes between now and then.
Indeed. And so I mentioned this. We will have recordings here. You just won't be able to call in live, and I wanted to let you know that. But rest assured, those who do tune in will have a great deal of excitement, and we appreciate all of your attention, your emails, your suggestions. And we would just like to remind you as a leaving message, consider the soul healing journeys that we do with people on the conference call, because the time is going to come when we will be involved in other work and will not be able to do a one-on-one commitment with an individual. So think about scheduling your conference call. Real quick, Richard, what site should they go to do this?
Yes, it's on the MetatronMinutes.com website. You will see a page there called Soul Healing, I think it's called.
And I'd like to thank all of you. Until the next time when we are here at this microphone, just loving to get with you again and share. Good night for now.
And good night, everyone.